Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking, an Elevated Missions Prep Incorporated company. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson, and today's guest is the CEO and co-founder of Pax Financial Group, LLC. He is a money and small business expert producing millions in revenue. But one of the things he enjoys most is teaching others how to invest the biblically responsible way and how to utilize the strategies to create successful small businesses. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Mr. Daryl Lyons. Welcome, Daryl.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the first questions that people will want to know answer to is, what is it to invest biblically responsibly?
It's a good question. You know, originally Christians were thought of as not Christians, but people of the way. And as we know, they had a different way of doing things. I mean, everything was different. Turn the other cheek, and it includes money. The idea of money, you can't serve two masters, you know, God or money. And it's kind of been lost on us that there's a different way of doing things as Christians. And so I just started to really digest, what does it mean to be a Christian, and how do you honor God with your money? And there's so many different ways to think about it. There's over 2,000 scriptures on money alone, more than prayer and faith combined. And so obviously God is very interested in teaching us about this. And so to answer your question, how do you manage money? How do you spend money in a biblical, responsible way? And there's various facets of it, but I will say that it certainly requires us to go to the scriptures and identify what has God taught us. And there's, you know, Proverbs is full of them, right? Solomon has so much wisdom when it comes to money decisions. But it's really practical, and we know when we're hyper-focused on our money, it's sometimes a testament of our faith and our insecurities and our lack of trust in God. And I say that because I've been there. When I first started the business before 2007, because I was just kind of getting started, we had to go down to one car. We had a newborn. And so it's kind of uncomfortable when you're working in the financial business and you have to sell a car because you haven't made enough money to pay your bills. My wife, mom of my child, would drop me off at work and pick me up. And one day I took her car to work and I left the office keys on the counter. I got to the office, I think it was like 4:30 a.m., kind of trying to work my way out of this situation I was in. And I was thinking, well, you know, I grew up in a trailer park, so I could go back to the trailer park. I guess that'd be fine. But I couldn't get in the building because the building was closed and I left the keys on the counter. So I just sat there in my vehicle. I think it was a Jeep Cherokee. And I just kind of was really crying because I was really nervous that I was fumbling as a dad and a father and a husband. And I don't remember God like articulating something verbally, but I remember him tugging at my heart. And it kind of felt like, put your money where your mouth is. Well, at that point, I made a commitment to give the first fruits of my income. And prior to that, I gave when it was convenient, whenever I had a little extra money or, you know, I didn't have to make a sacrifice. But at that point, when I was completely broke, I made a commitment to start giving out of my first fruits. And I never stopped since then. And it wasn't as though I was telling God, hey, if you do this, you know, I'll work harder or you'll bless me. It was just, God, I trust you. Like I trust that you're going to work things out. And I'm going to prove my trust to you by giving money that I need to pay for another car, that I need for gas, that I need for diapers. And I never stopped. And now since then, this isn't always God's economy. So I have to be careful of that prosperity theology. But since then, God's done some amazing things financially in my life. And I think, but most importantly, he's put me in a position when things are challenging or I am scared, that I do trust in him. And I continue to give, and my family gives, and we participate in giving. And it's hard to hear that a lot from the pulpit, because there's always this tension from the pastor of having this dialogue that he may polarize some of the congregation. And so I just feel that it's necessary for me to at times articulate that to the body of Christ, that, you know, giving is an important concept in God's economy. And as Christians, we only give like 1.5%. So we fall short of what's expected, and it hurts not only our world, you know, whether it's global hunger, but it also hurts our own attitude in life. I mean, our anxiety is at an all-time high, and giving actually is an antidote to that. So that's a long answer to a short question, but That's just one facet of when it comes to biblical responsible investing. When we talk about giving, we can always go over to how do you invest your money? We've started to unpack various ways to invest using artificial intelligence and new technology to be able to do things that are completely different. So it's just a lot of fun when you look at God's word and then start to discover how he has constructed the financial markets in such a way that Christians can really thrive in this economy by following God's word.
I love the fact that you talked about how your giving was an exemplification of your trust in God and what he would do for your life despite what you had going on. And I think that is totally important for Christians because we should constantly build our trust. And I just feel like that is one of the best answers I've heard in a long time as far as showing trust in God. Now, you talk about basically tithing, giving. What are some other biblical strategies that we can utilize as Christians to continue moving forward?
Well, one of the things that people have been doing a lot lately is they've actually been re-examining their investment portfolios, their IRAs and their 401ks. And a lot of people have said, I no longer want to be an owner, because when you own a stock inside of a mutual fund, which is in a lot of our IRAs and 401ks, you actually have ownership in that company. Not enough to go tell, you know, Walmart that I own this store, but just with thousands of people across the country. So when you have ownership in something, it actually, as I started to think through this, it actually means much more than just being a consumer. Owning something kind of almost implies that you validate the behavior of that company in a certain way. And so we've seen companies in recent years start to behave antithetical to biblical worldview. They've done things that have directly undermine people of faith, and very intentionally. And we've seen that in the marketplace quite a bit. And I think the body of Christ and a lot of people have said, I actually don't want to own that company more. That company is doing things that undermine my religious freedom. And so I want to remove my ability to own that company. But how do you do that? And so technology today has allowed investors to remove many of those companies from their investment portfolio, and so that they are focused on being an owner of companies that may not be 100% aligned with the biblical worldview, but they're not antagonistic towards it. Mm-hmm. And so we've been able to invest people's IRAs and 401ks in such a way that they can appreciate, enjoy, and not feel that there's this, what we consider cognitive dissonance, this disconnect between our investing and our values. And so that's a big part of what we've been doing in the last several years.
Yeah, I love it. I don't think a lot of people realize that they even have that option to reevaluate where their money is going. How would you tell people to get started in that process?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's an interesting screening tool that's through a company we use. So we're fiduciary. So we're financial advisors that help people, give people advice. And we use different investments in the marketplace. And there's several of these investment firms that have come out. So they can come to us if they want an advisor. But if they just want to kind of fiddle with it, there's a place called Inspire Investing. And on the website, you can actually put in the companies and find out what their score is, because they're given scores on how well they're doing. There's also an organization called Alliance Defending Freedom that has done their own scoring mechanism. So there's several different resources out there if you're just curious about it. And then for those that just say, I want a third party to help me do all that stuff, that's kind of the business that we're in.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Darrell, what's next for you? I mean, you're giving out all this great advice to help people move forward. What's going on in your life that's going to continue propelling you forward?
Yes, you know, I still have a responsibility and a mission to grow an organization that's able to honor Judeo-Christian values, to be able to help people express their faith through their money. So we're ambitious, not rooted in the selfish ambition kind of way, but we're ambitious in growing our organization. And so we're excited about that. To kind of accelerate our messaging, I have my fourth book coming out in real soon. My publisher's fine-tuning some things, so that'll be out. And so that'll be fun for the marketplace to kind of see what's going on between my ears now. And I look forward to that launch coming up.
I love it. How can people connect with you and your company?
I think the best way is through LinkedIn. It's a very pro- for me, it's a professional avenue. So if people wanted to follow me on LinkedIn, that's a good one. I put some content out there. I have a lot of videos, my podcasts and all that stuff. So LinkedIn's good. And then of course, our website, paxfinancialgroup.com, P-A-X. We have a lot of content. We do a lot of eBooks. So eBooks on biblical responsible investing. And we don't want people to retire. We want them to pivot so they can still use their wisdom and talent for the next generation. So we talk a lot about that. So just trying to educate, inspire, encourage. We do webinars and workshops. But to answer your question, our website and LinkedIn is probably the best way to get started.
That is great. And so as we wrap up your interview today, what is the one thing that you want to leave with people?
There's a lot of reasons to be nervous today. There's a lot of reasons to worry. I really trust God. I really, really do. I'm in the money business, so I just want to kind of press into something a little bit and ask people to trust them with their money. And as a testament of faith, giving is a good way to get started. It's telling God, I trust you, and see what happens. And I want to encourage people to maybe take that step of faith and go from there.
I love it. CWS audience, you have heard him. One of the ways that we can truly show that we trust God is doing what he has asked us to do with our money in the first place. First of all, let's give those tithes. The pastor is not standing in the pulpit just to take your money, but we do have a responsibility as Christians to give back what God has given to us. And believe me, he is going to bless you with much, much more, as Daryl has found out for himself and many others as well. So let's step forward. Let's not be afraid to step into what God wants us to have. He wants us to have an abundant life. You are not serving the master of money when you are deciding, making decisions where you can help grow money. Matter of fact, what you are doing is providing more means for you to help the community around you and to be a blessing to those within your family and friend group. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And until next time, beautiful people, God bless.